I think the worst part about narcissistic abuse, to me, in my opinion, is the heartbreak. Like, the actual heartbreak, like the loss and the mourning. You know, what you thought you had, and everything just changing so quickly. And I think it's like this feeling of mourning. It's very terrible. And I was just sitting here thinking that, because I'm like getting upset. I'm kind of winding down and trying to go to bed, and it's been this way every night lately because of, like I said, my hearing is coming Thursday. I won't go on about that because I've already talked plenty enough about it. I'm sick of it myself. I just want it to be over with, and I just want to crash for the whole rest of the day. Actually, I have an appointment to get my hair done afterwards. I was thinking about changing the color. I don't know if I'll change the style. Maybe I'll get bangs. I don't know. But overall and all around, I just feel this intense heartbreak and sadness. The loss of just my whole entire life. And I really believe in things when I believe in them. You know, I guess that, if that makes any sense. I believe in something, it's like with all of my heart, and he was no exception. And he just made me think that he was the best person on earth, and he had a way of just, it's creepy almost, you know. But I guess everything I had was just fake, you know. I guess it was just his facade. That he chose, and it made him look good, because he'd always, you know, this is my high school sweetheart. Yep, we've been together since we were 15 years old, and we love spending time together, and we're, you know, we're best friends, and we don't even go out with anybody else, and that was all true. But it was just weird, because he would just slip in little periods of this weird, intense, like, abuse, but yet it would be on the sly. You know, and then, like, when you react, you're the nut. Like, you know, it's like, it's frustrating, as I was thinking about it tonight, and I know I need to remain in the present, but, excuse me. I had to get a drink. I'm so sorry. I know I'm supposed to remain in the present, but I just can't help reflect back on things. And when his affair came out, and that just, my God, I can't tell you how bad that crushed me. My God, I never saw that coming. I just, I was devastated. But when I found out that he was with another woman on vacation while he was away and missing for 5 days, he told me he was alone. I went to his work, and I mean, I was crushed, and we were in the parking lot, and I know I shouldn't have, but he said something smart about it, and I went to slap him across his face. I just couldn't help it. It was so awful, and like, I don't even remember what it was, but he, I missed because he jumped backwards and leaned sort of backwards a little bit, and so he just, I missed, and he literally like laughed, like this devilish laugh, like, about it, you know, that I didn't get the slap in, and that I was, you know, coming at him anyway. And I just look back and I think, my God, you know, what was I think, what, you know, what am I thinking? So I think like this intense heartbreak I'm feeling is because I'm starting to look back at these things and go, oh my God, you knew you should have left. You knew you should have left a long time ago. The things that he would say and do to me, and people would even see it, and my sister or people like that, my niece, they'd point it out, or other people would point it out, like, God, that guy's an asshole, you know. And he was, oh my God. But yeah, I'm looking back at moments like that, and I think I'm starting to realize that there is no going back at this point, and that's hard for me. He was my whole world. There wasn't like a second out of the day, like if we were together, we were always like holding hands. I was leaning on each other, especially the last couple of years. But like I said, those mood swings where he would have these periods of that, you know, he'd hold my hand and stuff, but he just wouldn't talk to me, he wouldn't look at me, you know, just be withdrawn and just sarcastic, mean to me for no reason, walk 20 steps ahead of me sometimes. And those are the times he actually wouldn't hold my hand, you know, so that I could hardly keep up going into a store or whatever. And I don't know. It's like he had a split personality or something, but then again, it's not. It's just the different masks that he kept trying on. I was just the, almost like Dexter had Rita to, if you watch Dexter, the show about the serial killer, he had like Rita. She was what made him appear normal, you know, a nice, friendly, pretty wife who was friendly with everyone and everyone liked her, and he, you know, got to play that whole, you know, high school sweetheart. Oh my God, people just gave him that. That was a little bit of his, that is narcissistic need. It was a supply, I guess, our story. So I've seen him tell it so many times, and he had that, you know, he was just proud about it. And, you know, now it's like I'm realizing that, you know, this whole time, this, I think I looked at my app today, I think it's been 507 days, yeah, because I was saying 506 last night. I've really had to fight the urge to go back, you know. I mean, he hasn't wanted me back, though, so I didn't want to go back at first because I was telling him he was abusive and he didn't want to face that. He just wanted me to say that all of our problems were my fault because I was a cheating piece of crap. And I'm like, I went to a friend's house that I was close with. It was a former boss. So he was nice to me and he was just a nice guy. And we were close because his wife was cheating on him while mine was cheating on me. And we were friends and I was working for him and I was his secretary. So we talked and I never had anything inappropriate or anything like that. I would never do that. But we were separated and I had gone through the 3-year affair. I mean, just one thing after another, it was just really bad. And, we were separated and I went to said person's house and had a couple drinks. And so one thing led to another and we started to kiss and, you know, I had kind of like was disassociating and stuff. So I don't know. It's just, I have foggy memories of doing that and I confessed to doing that, but I didn't confess until 2 years later. And, when I did, he just went crazy. And I'm like, I can't believe this right now. Like, are you scared, kidding me? Like, you cheated on me for 3 years. And I, you know what I mean? And we were separated. And you were telling me you didn't want to come back. And I was a mess. And I was coming off of Cymbalta, which is one of the worst things to ever come off of. I was completely having a nervous breakdown. And I, you know, I'm not a cheater. I just don't believe in that. And I wouldn't have deliberately in my right mind. If I was in my right mind, I wouldn't have went. And I felt sort of like spaced out that night. I remember feeling like something had taken over, like, you know, driving there. I can still remember just feeling like telling myself that I should turn around and go home, but my body just kept going. And I think I had, excuse me, an intense need to balance the scales because I couldn't shake the pain from him. And it wasn't a normal healing process from his affair because he was narcissistic. So it was like even that was twisted and messed up. You know, it took like he would hardly apologize. He just sort of like, yeah, okay, yeah, I had a girlfriend for 3 years. Yeah, I took her to Disney. Yeah, I had sex with her in our bed. Yeah, what are you gonna do about it? It was like so condescending. Like he was entitled to do that to me. And we started fighting like cats and dogs because of it. Cause I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me right now? This man should be kissing my ass. He just broke my heart and did the worst thing he could have possibly done to me because I told him all of our lives that cheating was just the one thing I would not tolerate. I could tolerate anything, but that was just not it because my dad cheated on my mom and then, you know, there was a lot of domestic violence. And so I just didn't want that in my life. And I made that clear. And it was just like, he did it anyway. And he knows the trauma that I suffered because of that kind of stuff. I was so hurt. I truly believed in him. I remember people like my family, my mom and brother and stuff like, oh my God, Mary, he's sleeping with her. He's cheating on you. And I'm like, you don't know him like I do. he doesn't like sex that much. He's not like other guys. He isn't doing that. And he would just, you know, he'd come down and my mom would be down visiting from another state. And he'd be like, just because your ex-husband cheated doesn't mean everybody does. And then he would, like, my mom would see him sneak out with, like, a bottle of wine. And she'd be like, he just snuck out with a bottle of wine. And then he'd deny that. You know, she's nuts. She's seeing things. He was really crude and mean to her. And she was always really good to him, you know, a lot of times. And I think to myself, my God, why did I stay? And why do I still have a tiny desire to go back? I mean, I don't know why I just get so, it's so hard to work through those feelings. It's such a confusing place to be with when you're done with somebody like this. There's just so much to sort out, and I feel frustrated, and I feel angry a lot, and I feel like I gotta fight, not be jaded. I don't wanna, you know, be, ruined from this, because I've always been like a really like shining type person. Like, I kind of just, I don't know, people always just have pointed that out, that, you know, you're always smiling and I always look forward to seeing your smile. And all people, like, I'll be out, when I got here I would walk my dog and people would be like, there was one guy, he's like, I just enjoy seeing you go by with your dog every day, you just look like you don't have a care in the world. And I'm just like, thinking to myself, if you only knew. Oh my God. And, you know, I miss my belongings, and I know they're just belongings. And I heard like a big thing from Wayne Dyer the other night about like, let go of everything. You know, he like had given up everything, I think, at just one point in his life and moved to like Hawaii, I think. And I'm like, God, that sounds so good. You know, but then again, I miss my things. Like, I walked out on my life in the middle of like crisis mode, and you know, I left with 3 bags and a dog, one of my 2 dogs, which kills me, and I miss her so bad. But you know, I just can't think straight. I don't remember like what was around that I would really want to have. I probably threw most of my stuff away by now, and the stuff like that he told you, I think I had talked about it before, where he packed up everything I owned and put it up into the attic, and in very hot climate, no climate control in our attic, nor is there even an exhaust fan. So I had like melted shoes and ruined clothes with this attic smell that wouldn't come back out, and even after washing. And I just, it's been such a brutal punishment, and it's like it just doesn't make sense. The punishment does not match the crime. Even if I did sleep with this guy, I think he had it coming at that point. I mean, it was like years of abuse of him just telling me his, you know, the affair was my fault, and, you know, I was too fat, or I didn't dress right, or I didn't wear enough makeup, or, you know, I didn't do my hair, or, you know, just everything, anything he could possibly pick on. But yet, like, you know, there were times that he was just amazing too. That's just so frustrating. It's so very confusing and frustrating. I think, like, I'm such an even-kiltered person, that if I would have just had a halfway decent guy, like a normal person, a normal feeling person, you know what I mean? It's like, I could have had one of those really long-term marriages. Like, I really enjoyed being married. I liked it. It was like belonging to him. I was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I liked being married, you know, and I liked that we had all that history, and that kind of was like a turn on to me. And it just feels like, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? Because that's such a part of me, something that I really enjoyed so much. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to move on from that. But yeah, it's mourning, you know. I'm trying not to cry, but because, and I know it's like, my mom's like, my God, how can you even say that you're sad over him? She's like, oh my God, she's like, I'd be jumping for joy and throwing a party. She's like, excuse me. He we were fighting one day. He said he didn't want to be around my mom. She was down visiting, and she wasn't doing anything. He was just being nasty because he had the girlfriend, and he looked for a reason to pick fights and leave and stuff. And he tells me that he's not staying at the house until she leaves in a couple of days, and he's going to go sleep in the parking lot of where he works. So my mom is like Sherlock Holmes. She's like, she's always on, she's on it, you know, she's looking into things and whatnot. And I woke up in the morning to get ready for work, and my bedroom door opens, and in comes my ex-husband, and my mom's right behind him, and she's like, he wasn't there. I went down there and sat in that parking lot all night. He wasn't there. And I was like, looked at him, and I was like, where in the hell were you? And he's like, I went and slept in the blah, blah, blah grocery store parking lot instead of the work parking lot. And it's just, you know, she told me that, you know, the vehicle was warm and it was like ticking, like it does when it's been going for a little while. And the girl he was seeing was like a half hour away. So it's like, okay, there, that's where he was. But yeah, she was trying to bust him. She did too. It was really good. Oh my God, I didn't even know. I'm in bed sleeping, you know, and she's sneaking out in the middle of the night. Oh my God. But yeah, when I think back about that, I realize how abnormal that is. I mean, like, I try to put myself in other people's shoes. So I put myself in his shoes for just a second and think about him jumping back and then laughing, like, you know, because I missed. And he sees that I am in just sheer devastation. A normal sorry person, you know, would be more like coming closer when you go to hit him and let you get a hit in or whatever and just take it because they know they deserve it or whatever. And then, you know, just hold you and try to calm you down and say they're sorry, you know, not jump back and laugh. It was weird. I'm starting to see now that he kind of got some kind of a sick kick out of seeing me in pain. I don't know why. he definitely loved to cause it. But it's been painful saying goodbye to everything because everything was so ritualistic, and I'm very into like rituals, and now I realize like I gotta start, you know, just various things that we did, you know, like I think about going to public, or like we live near Publix, so it's in the South, and go in there for subs, you know, and he'd always have his hand on my lower back, and I'd be leaning on him waiting for the subs, and you know, I don't know, those moments like that I just really, really miss. And I'm like, it was weird, I don't know, he liked to be with me, and that was it. We were just always together, and even if he was being mean to me, it was comforting to me to have him around because I'd had him around for so long. And I really was in love with the good side of him. I am in love with the good side of him. Like, I pray so hard with all of my might that if it was possible for the good side of him to just take over and win, let that happen, even if it's like not to be with me again. But you know, I think if that happened, we'd be back together because he'd see that he needs to, you know, understand that he was the reason that I was there that night. And I know that people say, you know, you gotta be responsible for your own things, and I am, but I would have never gone. He pushed me to it the night before. He knew I was a wreck emotionally. That's my husband. He's supposed to be taking care of me. And if you see that I'm coming undone, at least say, hey, I'm just going to come home. You know, you're not doing good. And, you know, instead he wants to punish me. And I was getting more and more sick. I had to go off of work, FMLA. And, you know, my doctor was changing all these medications. And I was just coming undone at the seams. And I just couldn't take any more. It was just too much, too many years on end of too many like traumatic events at his hands, or you know, the affair, the move out of state. I never wanted to move. That was very hard, very hard. I cried for the first year, and then you know, he turned into somebody I didn't know anymore, and that made it even worse, and I was down there with no one. So it's a lot of mourning and frustration. And like, I had to sitting here going, how can I pull myself out of this negative, not really negative and stewing, but I'm putting the pieces together, and I just, it's puzzling to me, and it makes me want to go back to school and finish the psychology degree that I just minimally started, because to understand how in the heck and why, you know, and I've been reading a lot about it, so I do understand why narcissist brain work the way they do, but yet again, I don't, because like I could see him feel when he wanted to, and he told me he turned it on and off, and honest to God, I could feel it when he did. It was like he would do it to punish me, and I'd be all creeped out and freaked out over it. I hated it. And I don't know. I know that things always work out for the best in my life. It's just always been that way. I've had a rough road, but, you know, somehow, some way, things always work out for the best. So I'm just going to have to keep that in mind and know that this will be the same. This divorce and this situation will be the same, you know, that maybe I'll either be alone and happy somewhere, you know, just free of all this, and maybe I'll be with somebody new. I don't know. I just feel scared to live the rest of my life on my own to a degree, but yet I like being alone at the same time. Like, I'm just very protective over my personal space right now because I think I've just been through too much. It's just like I'm trying to recoup from everything, a lot of things that I never resolved in my life, from childhood even, and it's all kind of catching up with me. And, you know, so it's like I don't feel well a lot, but I've been like I'm trying to figure out how to get myself up. I want to raise my vibration because I don't want to keep going down that, because I don't want to go into the hearing coming up with negative vibes around me, like feeling like doom and gloom. I want to feel like Abraham's. I listen to Abraham Hicks. I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but like, you know, basically law of attraction, you know, so you want to match the vibration of what you want. So I'd have to be like confident and, you know, knowing that I'm going to be okay. I think that, you know, I've been getting a lot of signs that I'm going to be okay too. So feathers and stuff like that, I just feel comforted, but it's hard when, you know, I'm saying goodbye to something I've known my entire life. My God, the endless memories. It's like, I can't even think of what I talk about other than every story that I have to tell people includes him. They say there's a reason for everything, so I guess I'm gonna find out, you know. One day I'll be like having something really good happen or something, or maybe I'll meet somebody that it'll feel a million times better with, and I'll be like, empathy's amazing in a man. Oh my God, why didn't I go for this sooner? But, you know, his good side and I matched really well as a pair, but I guess, like I said last night, my friend was telling me, you know, that's the thing though, he could have matched with anyone, and that's the sad part. He's like a chameleon. He always told me, you know, even before I knew about any of this stuff when we were young kids, that he was an energy vampire, and as years went on, he would always tell me that, and I could understand what he meant because I could feel him adapting to my mood. And so he needed me to be happy and spirited and cheerful all the time and smiling for him to feel. And he told me that, I need you to be happy. Like, you don't wake up in a bad mood. What the hell? I need you to be happy at all times so that I could feel through you. And it's sad. And, you know, I'm glad if I can help somebody in that way. But at the same time, I have a right to my feelings and emotions too sometimes. I gotta be able to be sad and unhappy. And I think now, like, that I'm away, and even though it's been 507 days, a year, and, like, 5 months, I still am working through unresolved things. I really am, and I go through a lot of emotion. And if you're leaving, or if you have left, expect to go through a lot of emotion. I remember when I first got up here, I was on, like, out of the fog, PTSD, bored, and asking people, God, how long does it take to feel better after you break up with a narcissist, you know, just freaking hoping somebody will tell me a magic number that I can look forward to. Just felt like I was gonna die, really did, and I still do sometimes. I hate it. I'm hating it, you know. I enjoy my alone time, and it's nice to not get in trouble for taking naps and getting, you know, myself what I need, or having somebody sneaking around taking pictures of me when I look terrible to use against me later or make me feel bad about myself. I mean, that stuff's crazy, but, you know, there were a lot of stuff he did do for me, a lot of stuff that he did do for me that was nice, and, you know, we fit really well together sexually, so I'm upset about that because I don't think I'm ever going to feel, it feels like I'm never going to be like that with anyone ever again. And I worry about that because it's important to me, you know. I just, I want to have a good, healthy sex life, and I like the fact that he and I were still really sexually attracted to each other after all of these years, you know, together, right up until the end. And that's not very common. Usually people by that time are like, ugh, they're off doing each other, you know, they're doing their own thing and hardly see each other, and they're just tired of it and fighting about sex. One doesn't want it anymore, you know, and it was like nice. But I guess that was my prize for being what he wanted, you know, or some of at least what he wanted. And then when he found out that I wasn't perfect and made a mistake, and then, you know, oh, the most thing, mostly I got in trouble for the fact that he went through my phone and then I was talking to people about it, about what I was going through in the house and what was happening between him and I, and oh, he lost his mind. You know how important privacy is to me. So, you know, I'm sure you probably recognize the story. It's probably the same one you're living, or fairly close, I'm betting. But it gets better, I guess. Just take some time. You know, I just keep telling myself, okay, you made it through another one. You made it through another one. I go to bed at night. You made it through another one. Journal constantly. Books. Sometimes books make you feel less lonely. Especially now, because I can finally concentrate a little bit. Like, being away from him for over a year now, I realized that he was really affecting my ability to focus on anything. Because of my PTSD, I was an anxious mess. I couldn't focus to read. And now I can read and retain things better. And like, those are things that he picked on me for, and here he was causing them, you know. And it's just so ironic. And I just feel like I want justice. I need justice. He's like, I feel so like raped by him in a way, in every way. So much abuse and lying and all the stuff I took, only to get discarded in the end for so much less than he ever did to me. Excuse me. Such a slap in the face, but I guess that's my lesson. The warning signs were there. I guess I just have to be, you know, very careful and mindful of this for the rest of my life now. I mean, I can't have anyone mistreat me anymore. So, and I hope that you won't either. I was afraid of my own shadow, and if I can leave, you can leave. And I left it broke my heart. It breaks my heart every single day, you know. We just were in the right place at the right time and got a deal on a home that was like on the water with like the best view that anyone could ever imagine. I talked about it before, but I mean, I was in love with it. I was outside constantly. I never in my wildest dreams. We struggled most of our lives and everything, and you know, and it's just been a rough road most of the time. And then I finally get to a place where, like, I had a big, deep jacuzzi tub that was, like, just amazing, and dolphins hopping in the backyard, and I was so grateful. I'd open the blinds every day and every window, stare out at all the water, and just say thank you, you know, that I lived there, and I appreciated it so much, and I just cannot believe it's gone, you know. I'm like, that's it. I'm never going to see it again. It's hard. That's so hard. It's just breaks my heart in so many ways, and it just breaks my heart because I know that I would never do this to him. But that's the difference. We have loyalty, whereas they don't. They're just using everyone for something, and it's just sad. Even their own kids. He uses our own kids as pawns in his game to hurt me, and it's just so sad. I guess all I can do now is pray for the best for myself for this hearing on Thursday, and pray for his soul. Anyways, well, I hope everybody has a good night. I'm trying to go to sleep a little earlier tonight. Hopefully I can. I don't know. I don't feel very tired, but I hoped that getting some stuff off my chest would help, but I don't know. I'm still pretty wide awake. Well, if anybody would like to email me, I have heard from some people, and I just really want to say I appreciate that. Thank you. It's really nice to hear from people and know that you're not alone. My email is vortexgirl203@gmail.com. And my channel name is Blue Butterfly on YouTube. So I have a video there and stuff like that of what kind of I've been through. And so, anyways, have a good night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.